Well, this morning, Mother's Day, 1 Corinthians 13, I want to talk about love today, if we could. So if you have your Bibles out, you know, as Aaron already invited you to bring them out, turn to that chapter, and, you know, as we get started, Paul said something amazing, I think, when he started that. Because he began to talk about, you know, in that how we should treat each other. He just come off a big, like, letter in a previous chapter to the Corinthian church, talking about how they were treating people who were taking the Lord's Supper, and how that they were excluding some and inviting others. And if somebody brought a turkey, they deserved more more food than somebody who brought a coffee. And he said, you know, you guys got this whole thing screwed up when we partake about the Lord's Supper. So he said, just allow me to show you a more excellent way. See, I like that about Paul. He didn't really say that they were being knuckleheads. He just said, I got a more excellent way. You know, he didn't tell them that they were messing up. He just said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And he said, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Then he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that could move mountains, but I have not love, I gain nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, I am nothing. And then he said, love is patient, love is kind. And you heard as we went on and on. And he did show us a more excellent way. And I say that because mothers, I have one, and I've watched for years, 32 years, Cindy, mother. And, you know, mothers kind of know this more excellent way. And I want to talk about that today. See, I believe that moms, when you're here today, you really do embody love. And a word I don't use a lot, but I'll go back to it in a little while, is I do think if there is such a thing as unconditional love, I think you guys, moms, do it better than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now, moms in particular really love their children, and so I kind of brought a few statements with you about what children think about love, okay? So these statements come from a kid's book titled Love is Like a Crayon. And the first statement comes from Camilla, and she's age 9. And they asked him, how do you get someone to fall in love with you? And Camilla said, well, you shake your hips and hope for the best. I think her dad, you know, he's got to keep a close eye on Camilla, right? And then Tammy was age 10, and she was asked about kissing, and she said this. Now listen, girls. She says, it's never okay to kiss a boy. They always slobber all over you, and that's why I stopped doing it. And then Bob, he was age 9, and he must love country western music, because they asked him if he knew any original love song, and he said, yes, I do, and here it is. I'm in love with you most of the time, but don't bother me when I'm playing with my friends. Man, we can kind of, right? We can kind of understand that one. So what is love? And I think, you know, many of us, or many times, we have misconceptions about what love is. And that's what, you know, Paul was trying to tell us when he said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, this is what I am. So I think we have some misconceptions. I want to go over just a couple of them today till we get the idea. And the first one is that love is only a feeling, right? A lot of people think that love is this feeling that you have, you know, that maybe it starts in the pit of your stomach, you know, and it just is this feeling, and it grows and grows, hopefully, into something else. So the Darkness wrote in their song, I believe in this thing called love. Listen to what they said. They said, I can't explain all the feelings that you're making me feel, but my heart's in overdrive and you're behind the steering wheel. Man, that's some powerful stuff, isn't it? Yeah, I think we do have some misconceptions about what love is, or about love, and love is only a feeling, and as a result, people are searching for that feeling, and we talk about falling in love, and we talk about falling out of love. And basically what we're saying is we're either feeling, if we don't feel love, then love doesn't exist. So let me say this to the men today, is that the feelings of puppy love won't make it through the dog days of life. Love is uncontrollable. Sometimes we think that, and I want to share, you know, this is for all of us here about this. This belief, I believe, provides the foundation for people who are already married falling in love with the man, you know, at the next desk in the office or with the woman down the hall. You see, love is uncontrollable then, enables us to say, well, I just couldn't help myself. I fell in love. And it also provides, you know, the foundation for people who are married to say, I can't help it. I just don't love them any longer. So I kind of want to share today, I mean, two ways to keep love alive today. But I do believe this. I can only speak for Cindy and I. I think that if we really thought that love is uncontrollable, or that if love is just a feeling, you know, I mean, you guys might not believe this, but Cindy doesn't always agree with everything that I do and say. Ha! It shocks me too! Right? But if we thought those things, 32 years later, we wouldn't be here. Our lives would be drastically different. If we would have just felt puppy love, we wouldn't have made it through the dog days of life. And it's a commitment, and it's deep. So, two ways to keep love alive. First, we got to know what love is, right? And love, first of all, friends, is a matter of choice. See, you really have to choose to love. A husband says, I don't love my wife anymore. The wife says the same thing about her husband. When you do that, you've made choices. Day after day, you made choices when you say those things that do not honor God. And if you're ever saying those things, you need to repent and you need to choose love of God. Now, to choose love again, excuse me. But here's another thing. Contrary to what the Eagles might tell you, you're not a victim of love. Love is something that we choose. And Paul writes this, over all things, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You see, Paul would not have asked us, loved ones, to put something on if we weren't able to wear it. So love's a choice. And love is also a matter of conduct. John writes this in his first letter. He says, dear children, do not let us love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So I guess really what he's trying to say to us here this morning is back up your words of love with your actions. And I tell it like there was this guy that I once knew, and he kept telling his girlfriend that I love you so much I would just die for you. And he would say it over and over again, man, I love you, I would just die for you, I would just die for you. And then finally she said to him in front of me, she said, you're always telling me that, but you never do it. It's a matter of conduct, right? Wife comes into the family room while the husband is watching the baseball game, and she says, man, you're always watching baseball games. I think you love baseball better than me. And he says, well, that might be true, honey, but I love you more than basketball. Love is a matter of conduct. Second thing I want to share with you today is act like love acts. In chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, in that text that Aaron read to you, God's word tells us that very thing. Act like love acts. So I want to share a few things with you today. Love is alive when it has patience. It is dying when it is hurried. And it is dead when it cannot wait. Remember, love is patient. Patience isn't easy. A husband is trying to, you know, comfort his frustrated wife, you know, with their brand new fussy baby. And he goes in and he's going to give biblical words of wisdom. And he says, Apostle Paul says, you must have patience. And then he says this, well, the one that rocks the cradle rules the world. And she just impatiently responds, and you come in here and rule the world for a while because I'm tired. Love is patient. Now, that's why, and I'm speaking to single people who might be here right now, I'm going to tell you, intimacy can wait until marriage because love is patient and love can wait. If it is impatient, if it won't wait, well, rethink your position. Because if it won't wait, if someone won't wait for you, they don't really love you. If you're not worth waiting for, they're not worth keeping. They don't love you. Your special someone must deeply love you and wait for you always. Second thing I want to share with you is that love is alive when it cares. It is dying when it forgets, and it is dead when it ignores. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Remember always that love is kind. And I'm going to share this with you because, you know, this is personal experience, really, some of the things I'm sharing with you today because, you know, I've been around a while. I've made a lot of mistakes. I'm still making mistakes. I do some things right. I do a lot of things wrong. But one of the things that I've found out over the years is that sometimes it's easier for us to be kind to a new friend than to those that we've loved and known a long time. It's easier, I think, to be kinder and more considerate to the person next door to the one, than to the ones that live behind our doors. And God has intimately pointed that out to me lately. Kindness is demonstrated in the day-in, day-out grind of life. And I kind of have this philosophy that I share with Cindy, that if I have an ice cream cone, I'm going to give her half. If I have 6 candles, I'm going to give her 3. If I have 2 apples, well, Cindy, you would certainly get 1. And if I win the lottery, I'd send you a postcard from Dee Dee. Not really, I'm just kidding. But love is alive when it is giving. It is dying when it begins to barter. And it is dead when all it does is take. So love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. God models giving because he gave us first. He first gave us. So many times, man, we settle for things that are less than what God has for us. We like negotiating and we like exchanging and we like keeping score. And I've come to realize that's a heck of a burden to live with. Man, I did this for them yesterday. Now I'm going to wait and see if they return the favor and even the score today. And then, if the other one doesn't return the favor right, then I get angry, then I get mad. You know, if I like somebody's pictures on Facebook 32 times, but they never like one of mine, well, I'm going to unfriend them, right? I get mad and I get rude. But you know, love isn't this way. Love is giving. So we come through this point in the sermon and usually when I say something like that, you think I'm concluding, but I'm not. I'm not. It was my little Mother's Day joke. But I do want to ask this. Okay, so the things that we've talked about today, right? You know, how do we apply this sermon on love given the fact that Mother's Day, today is Mother's Day, a day of love? Well, first of all, now here's the time. I don't care if you've not written anything down. I want you to write this down, okay? Or put it in your phone or do something, because love is powerful. Now, many times, Christians especially, we have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, right? And Christians, you know, we go through the Bible and we know what it says, and we begin to get this pattern of life that says, you know, we need to live by the law. And we say that, man, the law is good, and it is. But I want you to always remember this. The law may tell you what to do, but love gives you the power to do it. The law might tell you what to do, but love gives you the power to do it. Paul wrote it kind of like this. He said, Christ's love compels us, and therefore we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I'm going to tell you a little bit of story about I just seen this just the other day, and I thought it was so cool. It's a story about a man from Ohio who was known as a pure prayer warrior. He woke up, it says, this story said, every day at 4:30 a.m. just to pray. And then I don't know why this is so important. Maybe it is, I think about it. But he was short in stature. And his prayer list was longer than he was tall. So he spent hours every single day in accessory prayer. And one Sunday night in church, he noticed that there was this large man with a ruddy complexion in the back of the church who had this big, you know, thing of chew in his mouth, right? So at the invitation at the end of the service, he felt impressed to invite the larger man to the altar. And so when he spoke to the stranger about giving his heart to God, it made this guy so mad that he spit tobacco juice in this little guy's face. Now the short man, he just reached into his pocket and he pulled out a handkerchief and he wiped off, you know, all that goo, all that stinking mess. And he said this. He said, sir, I love you and I will be praying for you every day that you will give your heart to Jesus. Well, a few months went by and there was this citywide camp meeting, and it was in the local auditorium, and halfway back in the auditorium stood this large man with a ruddy complexion, and he said he wanted to give his testimony. And he said, I want to testify because I've been one of the meanest, vilest of sinners. He said, several months ago, I happened to be in a church for the first time and a short man offered to pray for me at the altar. Instead, I spit my tobacco juice in his face. He said, that was a turning point in my life because he said to me this, I love you and I'll be praying for you every day that you will give your heart to Jesus. And the big man said, I could just tell he meant it. He said, I could just tell that they weren't just simply words. He said, I saw it in his eyes. He said, I'm a truck driver, and every day I'm on the highway, and all I could hear was that man's voice saying, sir, I love you, and I'm praying for you to give your heart to Jesus. Every night I laid down my head in some cheap motel beside the road, and I would see his face in my dreams radiating with the love of Jesus, saying, sir, I love you. A few weeks ago, I couldn't stand it any longer. I called my wife and I told her I want to get right with God. I want to get right with Jesus. And then he goes on and says that when he got home, the preacher was there along with his wife, and he says that he knelt at the couch in the living room and he repented of his sins and he gave his heart to the Lord. And then he said this, I don't know who that man was or where he is, but I hope that someday he will get the message because of his love, I'm now a child of God. And down in the front row, a quiet, unassuming short man slightly lifted in his hands to heaven and said, thank you, Jesus. I got the message. Christ's love within empowers the extreme makeover in our lives, loved ones. So as you love someone today, you have no idea what God will be able to do through your love. Love is powerful. And well, love is unconditional. I started to mention this earlier, you know, but by its very definition, you know, of the word love, I that love is to be unconditional. I think by its very definition, it's redundant to talk about unconditional love. See, over the years, you know, people need to be loved most when they deserve it the least. In the presence of love, that makes any interaction special. It makes it remembered, and it makes it significant. I mean, love, as we leave today, love as Jesus loved, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and with all of his strength. That's how Jesus loves you today. And he says to us, go and do the same. Henry Drummond said this, "You will find as you look back upon your life that the moments when you really loved are the moments that when you have done things in a spirit of love." So on this Mother's Day, and moving forward toward eternity, act always in love.